It is a privilege to be able to have a part in the service tonight that is emphasizing our young people. It's been my privilege in the work here to teach in the youth department for several years and be associated with many of you. I appreciate so much what's being done by young men like Jason. I've enjoyed so much working with Jason and Sarah. They're so congenial, and we appreciate the work that they are doing. I believe, if I remember right, that Ben Leonard, who has a group here from Selmer, was baptized in a meeting that I conducted up in Calvert City back a few years ago. And it's just so good to see all of you. I enjoy working with young people. I enjoy playing with you. And I think we must have a pretty good relationship, because last Sunday morning, when I got up, my yard was rolled. I think with the best job that I have ever seen. And I'm sure that none of you had anything to do with it. But if you are talking to those who did, please tell them that I prefer Charmin. And if it's done on a morning when there's not a lot of dew, it's much easier to recycle. We are so thankful that our young people are here tonight. Jason gave me a copy of the brochure that's been produced for the next five, to describe what's going to go on the next 5 weeks. The area-wide winter youth series, and the theme is Firm Foundation. A few minutes ago, the scripture was read from 2 Timothy 2 that talked about a sound foundation in that version. I believe it's the New American Standard Bible that uses the words firm foundation. And I appreciate the fact that this is being emphasized. There are five lessons that are planned here tonight, Adamsville next week, then 4th Street in Selmer, Savannah, and Estes. The lessons are: I stand secure, I have a living hope, God has a plan for me, His word is faithful, and God will deliver me. I think that helps those of us that are adults to appreciate what's going on and to see what is planned in this series of lessons for our young people. A firm foundation is needed. It is impossible to have a good house that will stand for a long time unless there is a firm foundation. And it is not likely that one will have a good life that will last for a long time unless there is a firm foundation. After talking about what we refer to as the seven Christian graces, in his second letter, Peter then said, you need to have these, and you need to do these things and live in these ways in order to make your calling and election sure. He was saying we need to have a firm foundation. In Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. That's the idea of a firm foundation. And we are very interested in doing everything that we can to help all of us have a firm foundation, but especially to help you young ladies and you young gentlemen in your earlier years of living for Christ to have a foundation that is firm. Our subject tonight, as a part of this theme of the firm foundation, is I Stand Secure. We chose the last three songs on purpose because each of those songs, in a sense, emphasized one of these three words. Blessed Assurance emphasizes the idea of security. Standing on the Promises, the idea of taking a stand. And that's exactly what all of us need to do. And then that last song, if you noticed, emphasized the pronoun I. A pronoun sometimes that's emphasized more than it should be, but sometimes needs to be emphasized more than it is. When we think about the personal idea that is involved in standing secure. Think with me for just a few minutes tonight about these three words. First, the word secure. You as young people need to feel secure. It is very important for you to be and to feel that you are secure in life. You probably have noticed and maybe even remember that the little baby or the very young child will go to sleep even though there's a storm outside, because that child feels secure by being with mama or daddy or both, and has enough trust in them at that time to believe that there is security and that there can be a feeling of security. You as teenagers, and maybe some who are preteens, need to have that same kind of security. You need to be able to go home tonight and pillow your head in what we sometimes say is a peace that passeth understanding. That's just another way of saying you need to be able to go to sleep tonight and feel secure. In order to do that, it seems to me that there are at least four areas where you need to feel secure. You need to be able to be secure with your friends. There is no time in life that friendship is any more important than during the teenage years. He that would have friends must show himself friendly, Proverbs 18:24. And that verse continues by saying that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Some of you probably know, and even those of us that are older know, what a terrible thing it is to have a friend go against you, to be betrayed by a friend. Maybe to have your confidence betrayed by someone that you considered to be a friend. It is important to have security with your friends. Young people, I would suggest to you that it is important to have some close friends. I know that we're trying to treat everybody alike, in a general sense at least, and I know that we need to be friendly to all people, but every one of us needs a bosom friend, maybe more than one, someone who is like a brother in the sense that person can be trusted and there can be the sharing of anything that we have with that person. I believe the example of Jesus shows us that we need some close friends. Jesus certainly is not a respecter of persons. You would agree with me that he did not love any of his apostles more than he did the rest of them. And yet, isn't it interesting that on different occasions he chose Peter and James and John to be with him in a little closer sense than the others were? I don't know that I can explain to you exactly why he did that, but I at least believe the point is there that even among the apostles, Jesus had those three that had a special meaning to him and had them with him on special occasions. And even when he was facing that difficult time with his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, he took them all a ways, but he took these three a little further and then went a little further himself and prayed to God. It is important to be able to feel secure with your friends. Next, it is important for you to feel secure with your family. There's not a family, I'm sure, but that problems exist. Judy and I had four teenagers at the same time. I think I know a little bit about some of the problems that exist among siblings. And I'm sure that you boys who have sisters and you girls who have brothers at least think you understand what I'm talking about. And there are times, I'm sure, that you think that dad and mother do not make the best decisions or do not know really the best thing to do. But if you stop and think about it, the security that you need and the security that you can have in the family is so important. In too many instances today, the home has come to be a filling station in the lives of most of us. By that I mean we go out and do everything we want to, and then when we need a little money or a little food or a little sleep, we go home. And we fill up like we fill the car up with gas, and then we leave and go somewhere else. It is sad that that is the case, because the home ought to be a place of safety. A place where we feel we can go when there may be difficulties elsewhere. Each one of you as a young person needs a family where you can feel secure. No wonder Paul said, children, obey your parents in the Lord and honor your father and mother. And then immediately said to the parents, addressing the father specifically, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. A study of that fifth and sixth chapters of Ephesians will show us that there is a need of closeness and togetherness in the family, and we need that kind of security. You need to be able to go to your dad or mother and talk to them about the problems that you have. And I think a word to those of us that are parents and grandparents would also be wise. We need to be sure that we live in such a way and keep the lines of communication open to where our young people feel good about coming to us and know that we are willing to listen. But doesn't it mean a lot to you as a young man or a young woman to know that there are times when a decision needs to be made and you want dad or mama to make it? You don't want your friends to blame you for making it, so you have dad and mama make it so you can blame dad and mama, right? But isn't it good that you have someone who cares for you and you have that family setting? When you look at all the children in the world today who do not have a family in the real sense of the word, and sometimes seemingly have few people, if any, who care for them in that way, take just a moment and thank God for yours. You need that security in the family. But in the next place, I suggest to you that you need security in God's family, the church. Romans 12, 4 and 5 says that we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and we've done a pretty good job emphasizing that, but listen to the next part of that verse. And everyone members one of another. We are one body in Christ and members one of another. When I quote that verse, just almost automatically, my hands go together like this. I believe that's the kind of relationship that we ought to have in the church. It does my heart good to see you as young people have among your friends some of those that are two generations older than you. And in most congregations, this one included, there is a relationship between those who are quite a bit older and those of you who are quite a bit younger. I see it happening. I see you talking to them. I see you interested in them. And believe you me, I know firsthand that they are interested in you. In 1 Corinthians 12, there is a discussion of the church as the body. And after talking about all the many members and how they fit together and how important each one is, he comes down and says that all the members should care one for another. And then he says, if one member is rejoicing, everybody else ought to rejoice with him. And if one member is suffering, everybody else ought to suffer with him. Young folks, there is a type of security that you can find in the family of God, in the church, that cannot be found anywhere else. And you need to know, and you need to remind yourself constantly that there are so many who are interested in you, who will give to you financially, but more than that, who will give to you of themselves because they love you and they want what is best for you. And then, of course, it goes without saying that our greatest security comes from God. We need security with our friends. We need security in our families. We need security in the church, but the greatest security that we can find is going to come from God. Most of you are familiar with that passage. It says that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord over in Romans 8, 28. Have you taken time to read the rest of the chapter? There are some questions. Who can be against us? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is he that condemneth? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And after mentioning a little bit in answer to each of these questions, he comes down to the latter part of the chapter and says, for I am persuaded. And he mentions, I think, 10 or 12 different things. And he says that none of these, and the last one he mentions is any other creature, in other words, anything, none of these can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. None of these can separate us from the love of God. There are times when you are discouraged. There are times when negative things happen. There are times when you wonder what's going to be the next hour or the next day in your relationship with others. But there's one thing for sure. God is never going to leave you. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I would suggest that that would be a good verse for you to remember and even quote to yourself on several occasions. When there is a difficult moment, just pause and quote that verse that God said, Christ said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There is a security that we have with God that cannot be found anywhere else. The firm foundation involves feeling secure. But back to our statement of three words, I stand secure. Notice that word stand there. And that word emphasizes a little bit more on your part than the word secure. If you're going to be secure, you must take a stand for that which is right. Stand up for Jesus. Standing on the promises. Stand fast in the faith, Paul put it like that in 1 Corinthians 16:13. Again, in the 15th chapter, when he was talking about the gospel, he said, I've preached it, you've received it, and eventually he said, by it you're going to be saved. But right in the middle of that, he said, wherein you stand. Wasn't he saying that we need to take a stand on the Word of God, that we need to take a stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ? You're familiar with the gospel armor. You've heard it mentioned so many times. You probably, in many instances, know the parts of it. Had you ever noticed that three times in giving that gospel armor and the specifics of it, he uses the word stand? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. A little bit later on, having done all to stand. And then stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. He says you've got to learn to take a stand yourself. And I can say to you, without contradiction, that people appreciate you more when you stand for something. The person who will stand for nothing will easily fall for anything. And one who does not stand in the gospel and stand up for Jesus and stand for those things that are right is going to have a hard time finding security in these other areas that we've just mentioned previously. But if you will take a stand, and you will stand for what is right and let people know that you stand for what is right, I think you will find security with your friends, in your family, in the church, and certainly with God. I stand secure. One of the biggest little words in the English language is that one letter word, I. Sometimes we use it in the wrong way. We use it to brag. We use it to boast. We use it to really be selfish, perhaps. And yet there is a sense in which we do need to use it. Folks, we're talking about something that is personal. And our security has to be personal. If you're going to find security and have the firm foundation that we are talking about this evening, you must have a personal faith which is your own. Sometimes, young folks, the reason that we feel that the props are knocked out from under us and we do not have that security is because we are leaning on the wrong props. And sometimes the reason that we're unable to face the situation, to deal with it and overcome it, is that we're trying to get through life with an inherited or borrowed faith instead of a personal faith in God. I stand secure. Nobody else can do that for me. Nobody else can do that for you. You know the verse studied to show thyself approved unto God in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. You know the verse that says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. How that Jesus Christ be in you except you be reprobates. Think about that for a moment. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. If you're not standing secure tonight, is it possibly because you don't have that personal faith? Like many of you, I can express my thanks for my parents who began taking me to Bible study and worship even before I can remember. I appreciate their faith. Their faith certainly had a lot to do with helping me to be where I am today. But if I do not have any more than the faith of my parents, I'm not going to be secure. I'm thankful for all the friends and acquaintances that I've had down through the years. I've been associated with some of the finest Christian people that anyone could ever know. And they have assisted me, they have helped me, they have influenced me, as so many are helping and influencing you right now. But I cannot get to heaven on the faith of my friends. I cannot feel secure just based on the faith of my dad and mother. As thankful as we are for the faith of others and the help that comes from others, we've got to get down to where we have a personal faith in God, and we know whom we have believed and are persuaded that He is able to keep that which we've committed unto Him against that day. Paraphrasing the words of Paul in the first chapter of his second letter to Timothy, a young man, maybe not too much older than some of you are tonight. It is that personal faith that is going to help us find the security that we need. God has given us the foundation. God has given us a foundation that is firm, a foundation that is sure, a foundation that is steadfast. What needs to happen is that you and I be sure that we stand on that firm foundation in a very personal way and develop a personal faith in Christ, based, of course, upon His Word, that will help us to stand against the wiles of the devil. There are going to be times when dad and mother will not be there. You will have to make the decision. There are going to be times when your Bible teacher will not be there, when the ones who work with you in the youth program will not be there. There are going to be some temptations come when the only way you can overcome those temptations is through your own personal faith in a God where there is security that cannot be shaken. I stand secure. A personal faith in God, standing in that faith on His foundation, there we can find the security that will help us to meet anything and to deal with it in the right way. I stand secure. Can you say that tonight? Can you really say without stuttering, I stand secure? Perhaps some of you have not even become a Christian yet. You haven't taken your stand on that firm foundation. You need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins because you believe, because you're willing to repent, because you want to live for Him, because you want to give your life to Him, because you want to have that promise of heaven, that security that cannot be found anywhere else. Some of us have made mistakes, well, all of us have made mistakes, but maybe some in a way that there needs to be a return to God, asking for forgiveness with repentance and confession and prayer to God. The question is, can you really say tonight, I stand secure on the firm foundation of my God? If you can't, come to Him as together we stand and sing.